At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
What's going on? And welcome into a Wednesday edition of the Pelicans podcast presented by SeatGeek. I'm Daniel Salerson. Hope everyone is having a great holiday season and staying safe. And your New Orleans Pelicans are on a roll right now. They have won three in a row after taking down the Portland Trail Blazers last night, 111-97. To help break this thing down and talk about everything going on with the Pelicans, I welcome in again David Wesley, Valley Sports Studio Analyst for your New Orleans Pelicans. Also, we'll make this a Wesley Wednesday, as we used to do here on the podcast. David, hello, happy holidays, and glad to have you on again, my friend.
Happy holidays to you, and it's good to be back. Good to be back on and talk some good Pels basketball.
Absolutely, we're ready for the perfect time to have you on so we can talk about some good things going on with New Orleans. Look, they've won three in a row. They had that game-winning shot by Devontae Graham against OKC. Then you take down the reigning champs. Yes, they were shorthanded, but still I thought a very important win for New Orleans. And last night, even with everyone focusing on whether Damian Lillard was going to play or not, Pelicans end up taking care of business in the fourth quarter. What has stuck out to you during this three-game winning streak, something they haven't done all season long?
Well, I think the execution down the stretch has been better. Making the plays, getting to the 50-50 balls, defending and getting out in transition. I think down the stretch is where some of those things didn't show up early in the season. And I think now with a little more regularity, a little more consistency, you see those guys out there making the right plays. You know, you look at that first half last night and you see the 11 turnovers and then one in the third and two in the fourth. And that second one in the fourth came really late, like where it didn't really matter. So, those are the kind of things that are happening that I really think that give this team a chance. And then you look, they're only three or four games out of the playing game. So they've really done a nice job of just kind of keeping it close, hopefully until Zion gets here.
Yeah, I'm glad he brought that up because one, they're just a couple games out of that playing spot. And everyone looks at me or when I talk about it, I think you're crazy. They're 11-21. Why are you talking about it? Well, this is what the Western Conference is looking like. The fact that you are in this position and are still only two games back, that's not something of your fault. And you mentioned Zion, but I feel like the key for this Pelicans team is, and something that was brought up earlier in the season, is a lot of these guys were playing roles that I don't think they were ready to play or weren't accustomed to going in the training camp without Zion. Everyone was, all right, Zion Williamson gets here. Everyone was signed based on how they can complement with him. And now that you're 32 games in without him, do you feel like guys are just starting to settle in? You've had a consistent starting lineup now for a good couple of weeks. Do you feel like everyone's just kind of settling into their role, knowing their spots in the rotation?
Well, I think in the beginning of the season, when you think about Zion coming back, and at the time, was he coming back game one? Was he coming back game 10? Was he coming back game 20? You didn't know. So I think there was maybe some still let's figure out the style we're going to play when he gets back. And then after, the setback and then the second thing he went through in California, you now have to start realizing it's just us. the guys in this locker room, we have to go do it. And I think over this first start of the season, these guys have started to learn, started to figure out how can I help this team. I think BI has done a great job of trying to figure out what buttons to push. Willie's done the same thing. They've had a lot of conversations. I think that's been huge in their growth. But this league has a lot of parity and on both sides. It seems like, you know, all the way down to eighth is a lot of games under 500, not just some games, like a lot of games under 500, and second or third is like 500, you know, or third or fourth is like 500. So there's always a chance. And right now I feel like the Pelicans are playing as if Zion is not coming back. I think they're playing with the intention that this is our group, this is who we're going to battle with, and this is what we have to do for now. And if Zion comes back, great. If he doesn't, we're already on the mindset of how we need to play.
Absolutely. And I talk about that starting lineup, and everyone wants to talk about Brandon Ingram, and rightfully so. The man has been on fire during the month of December, the last three games in his winning streak, averaging 28 points per game. But I think Josh Hart needs to be involved in this discussion about how meaningful he has been to this Pelicans team since being inserted in the starting lineup. What he does from a rebounding perspective, from an energy perspective, the one-man fast break, one-on-four, doesn't matter. What kind of spark does Josh Hart bring to this team that you really kind of need that guy on each team? And I feel like he's the guy for the Pelicans.
He's the X factor. He's that guy that, when he goes out, how do you replace him? You know, you might be able to get more scoring out of somebody. You may be able to get better playmaking out of somebody. You may be able to get better rebounding out of somebody. But the combination of everything he does, including his hustle, the things that don't show up in a stat sheet, his intensity, his presence on the floor, I think is contagious, and people play to that level, or at least try to. So I think he's invaluable. He is that X factor. And as much as you can't afford to have Brandon Ingram off the floor, sometimes you can't afford to have Josh Hart off the floor either.
And another guy in that starting lineup, Herb Jones, who had the tall task of guarding Damian Lillard last night. And I thought, you know, he got in the foul trouble early. I thought Damian was, you know, like, all right, you have a rookie on me, I'm going to make you pay a little bit, which is a great learning experience for Herb Jones. But I feel like for a guy that's been drafted 35 overall and how much the Pelicans rely on him defensively as well, I think it's just been impressive. His maturity, number one, knowing what his role is and how he could be effective on the floor, but how hard he works and then how much he is able to contribute when he is in the starting lineup.
And when I look at Herb Jones, I look and I'm first, I'm impressed by how good defensively he already is, because sometimes it takes playing against someone to kind of learn, all right, this is what they like to do. Sometimes reading it doesn't do it justice because you don't add in the fakes and the quickness and things like that. So for him to struggle against a Dame Lillard, of course, it's your first time kind of seeing him, it's your first time understanding him, and Dame's been doing this to guys as good or better defensively his whole career. So you know, Herb Jones is learning. He's way beyond his time already on the understanding, and he just continues to get better. And the next time he sees Dame, will it be better? You kind of think it will be. The next time after that, you kind of think it will be, because that's the kind of guy he is. He really locks in, and he's fun to watch. And the fact that, you know, he's starting to find his angles offensively too, where he can cut, where he can dive, where he can space. He really plays off of Brandon very well and seems to always be in the right places.
Someone else that stood out last night, I thought, of course, he was huge in the fourth quarter. You mentioned how well the Pelicans have been playing down the stretch. They outscored the Blazers 30-19 that fourth quarter. But Nikhil Alexander-Walker had 18 of those 30 in the fourth quarter. He had 15 straight for New Orleans at one point between the end of the third and the beginning of the fourth quarter, 5 of 6 from three. It just seemed like he was more comfortable taking some set shots last night, whether he was just, you know, there's been times where the shot selection may have not been there, but what always sticks out to me is the confidence level. No matter if he's 0 for 10 from 3 or 5 for 5 from 3, the confidence never wavers. What did you see from Nikhil last night that, you know, we've seen before but just haven't seen it consistently throughout this season?
When I look at Nikhil's shot selection last night, the shots that he made, he was open. Like, they forgot about him. They fell down. They made a mistake. If he can be more selective in his shots, he will have more games like that. He is a true talent. And if he's, and the way I see it, the more he stays away from just being a jump shooter, because he has more game than that. He's not just a shooter. He doesn't have to be just a spot up guy. He can put it on the floor and go to the basket. And the games that I've liked most from him are the ones where, one, he shot the, had better shot selection, and two, didn't just rely on the three ball. He drove, he got in the basket. There's one other game, and I can't remember who it was against, but he drove most of the game. And then he knocked down maybe two threes and probably went 2 of 6. So, but he played an exceptional game. I think those are his better games. And I think some of his struggle is trying to be more selective, trying to figure out where his things are coming from. But I think games like last night will teach him a lot on how he wants to play the game and how he can help this team. But I think as long as his shot selection is good, I think he has a better chance of making shots for this team.
Well, how tough is it on a guy like that who going through somewhat of a shooting slump potentially, but, you know, having to the confidence to say, hey, I'm going to continue going. I feel like with Nikhil, you see the type of talent he has, but sometimes I think it's just the mental side of things of when to shoot. Does that get into people's heads a little bit? You go through a slump, you talk about, man, should I be taking this shot or this shot instead of really just going out there and playing? How much can that take a toll on a guy, you know, as you kind of learn, especially for a guy that's just in his third year in the NBA?
Well, I think you're speaking more to my generation in a lot of ways. We were expected to know shot selection. We were expected to, there was a hierarchy of who's shooting the ball. Whereas now it seems like it's more of a, you're open, shoot the basketball. And with that said, sometimes you feel open or you don't know what open is, you shoot all the time. And I think that does get in your head. When you're thinking shot selection and not, when you're thinking, if you don't know what a good shot is, then before you shoot it, you have to make that decision in seconds. If you're always doing that and you don't just feel, hey, I'm open, shoot the ball, it can get in your head. And I think Nikhil has struggled with that a little bit, trying to figure out what's a good shot and when do I get in. And, you know, I remember guys in my generation that because, you know, you were only shooting balls that the stars weren't shooting. It wasn't like, you know, every guy has 10 shots in a night. So, but this generation is different. They're asked to shoot open shots, and any open shot is a fair shot, which leads to bad shot selection. I think this league is full of it.
Before I let you go here, of course, we will not talk to you until after Christmas. So, of course, the slate of games on Saturday looks really good for right now, and hopefully all those games can stay in place with a lot of teams battling health and safety protocols. But you played on Christmas Day once with the Houston Rockets. Do you have any memories from Christmas Day? And just what does it mean for the league when you wake up on Christmas Day and you have, you know, the ability to watch 5 games all in a row throughout the day? How special is this day for not only you, but also for the NBA, and just how kind of, you know, NFL made Thanksgiving their holiday during the season, where Christmas has really established themselves in the NBA?
Well, as a player, it's cool. You know, everybody's watching. It's cool. And then it's not, it's kind of a, you know, kind of a mixed bag. Obviously you're not with your family. Obviously you're not there Christmas Day. Obviously you're not in your home. Or one team is, one team isn't, but still you have to work. So you're not really doing Christmas stuff. You may do it the day before, the day after, which basketball families, they get. It's not always going to be pretty. But, you know, after you get over that kind of thing, then, you know, the enjoyment of, you know, millions of people are watching, that's fun. And then it's just a fan watching it. You know, you get up, you open your presents, you know, you get your whatever hot drink you got, and everybody's sitting around. It's nothing like basketball or some sporting event being on. So, you know, I think it's great. I think it's great for everyone. It's one of those things you can lay on your couch, watch TV, and enjoy the rest of your Christmas. So I like Christmas games, and I like them more when I don't have to do them or had to play in them.
Absolutely. With the Pelicans, I've been on a few times here in the last few years, so I know we've had to work on them. So I'm okay with taking a break this year, but we will be in Oklahoma City Christmas night. But as long as the Pelicans win, I'm okay with heading out there just for one night. Well, David, I really appreciate the time. Of course, you can watch David on Bally Sports New Orleans pregame, halftime, and postgame as a studio analyst. Always does great work and always enjoy the conversation with him. Have a happy holiday season. Merry Christmas to you and your family, David, and we'll talk to you soon.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Be safe out there.
Always great having David Wesley on the podcast, and always great having him on the broadcast as well. Next up for the Pelicans will be the Orlando Magic, as the Pelicans will hit the road this afternoon and will take on the Magic tomorrow. Remember, 6 p.m. Central Time, and you can listen on ESPN New Orleans 100.3 FM, or of course watch on Bally Sports New Orleans. Pregame for both will begin at 5:30. Yeah, look out for those Orlando Magic. They have a lot of guys in health and safety protocols right now. They actually play tonight in Atlanta against the Hawks. Hopefully everything will be okay, where the Pelicans will not have another postponement like they did on Sunday against the Philadelphia 76ers. Then they'll have a couple days off to enjoy the Christmas holiday, and we'll be back in action on Sunday. Remember, no Saints on Sunday, so you can enjoy the Pelicans and Thunder 6 p.m. Central as well, before the Pelicans will have another home game next Tuesday against the Cleveland Cavaliers. We will take a break for the Pelicans podcast. No show on Friday. We want to enjoy the Christmas holiday as much as you all get to as well. So we'll be back with you on Monday, hopefully talking about a 5-game winning streak for the Pelicans. Again, they've won 3 in a row, and a good opportunity to take on 2 teams this week that are under 500, and a chance to get a winning streak going, as after that, the Pelicans have a really tough schedule, as they'll take on the Cavs, the Bucks, the Jazz, the Suns, and the Warriors in their next 5 after this Sunday. Hope everyone has a safe and happy holiday season. Please don't drink and drive. Please enjoy the weekend with friends and family. And as always, we appreciate you listening to our podcast, which is presented by SeatGeek. Until Monday, for David Wesley, I'm Daniel Salerson. Thanks for listening to the New Orleans Pelicans podcast presented by SeatGeek. Merry Christmas and go Pels.